Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. We're joined by Fred Flights, a career intelligence professional who served for about 20 years in the Central Intelligence Agency, was a member of John Bolton's staff, including serving as his chief of staff at the State Department, and then went on to become a professional staff member of the House Intelligence Committee. A man who obviously has a lot to contribute to our musing about what has been going on of late with the intelligence community and its implications for our government, and particularly that of Donald Trump's administration. Fred Flights, welcome back. It's always good to have you with us.
Good to be here.
I want to start with trying to get our hands around a term. We've been talking in previous segments with a couple of reporters who are following this very closely, and so I think have some of the background to the efforts to take down Mike Flynn and perhaps others, evidently being mounted by members of the intelligence community, certainly some previous members and perhaps some still serving. Fred, would you define for us a term that is now being used in these conversations, the deep state? What does that mean?
Well, the deep state is a term that is used by some people to claim that there is some type of permanent secret bureaucracy in the U.S. government run by the intelligence community and perhaps people within the State Department and the DOD, and they fight vociferously to protect their jobs and mandates and to resist control by the president and the president's appointees.
Do you think it's a credible characterization of the sort of permanent bureaucracy?
Well, I have a slightly different take. I do think that there are professionals in government who resist presidents, especially Republican presidents. I don't like this term because it is something that is used too much by Edward Snowden and Glenn Greenwald to promote attacks on the civil liberties of Americans. I do think there are a large number of officials in the intelligence community who were named or promoted by the Obama administration who are working against this president. I don't think this represents an effort from administration to administration. But I'll tell you, having worked in the intelligence community for 25 years, there was a pronounced liberal bias in efforts to undermine Republican presidents. It was always below the surface. I take a slightly different take, but I do admit there's a serious problem.
And is there any question in your mind, based on the kind of reporting that we've just been discussing with Adam Credo and Richard Pollack? There are also important pieces out there by Patrick Poole and George Risley and others about what seems to be a deliberate campaign on the part of some of these, and I think you're right to make it clear, it's not obviously all members of the intelligence community, thank God. But Fred, given what you know, is it likely that some of what's being done here involves the improper use, in fact, the dangerous abuse of classified information and intelligence collection techniques, notably in the case of Mike Flynn, but perhaps in prospect with others?
I think there's no question about that. And I believe it is being done by former Obama officials, people who just left. And I got to say, I think former CIA Director John Brennan is my top suspect for some of these leaks. The former officials are leaking things that they probably asked to be collected against Flynn and Trump before they left office. And their former aides and deputies and people who they handpicked into senior positions are leaking now to hurt this president. And I mean, this communication between Flynn and the Russian foreign minister is a key example of that. This was extremely sensitive information. Anything that involves the personal communications of an American citizen that's caught up in intelligence collection, that is among the most highly held intelligence. And the fact that a transcript of this apparently was widely disseminated is a gross violation of the rules governing our intelligence agencies.
One of the things that's been reported, Fred, which may be contributing to this, is that President Obama, apparently late in his administration, decided to considerably expand the number of people who could have access to signals intelligence information. And again, as you say, some of the most closely held until now, for reasons that I think have as much to do with the perishability of the means by which we collect that information, as it does with concerns about the civil liberties and so on of American citizens. But talk a little bit about, has this created conditions that lend themselves to this kind of abuse?
Well, I've been looking at this and discussing with a number of people. What Obama did, NSA usually takes an intercepted communication and gists it and summarizes it. They don't give the whole thing. And as an intelligence analyst, I found that frustrating because I don't know what was left on the cutting room floor. So Obama changed that rule. Obama also changed the rule so more individuals would have access to this information, even though it's very sensitive. The first change might have been justified. The second one I'm troubled by because it was making very sensitive intelligence available to a wider array of people, most of whom did not need it. Now, we don't know whether this involved the transcript of Flynn's phone call. I haven't seen that yet, but I think this has to be looked into because if that was the result of Obama's decision, it really represents a serious threat to the civil liberties of every American.
Fred Flights, would you just talk a little bit about this issue of sources and methods, as they call it, the dangers of having through the unauthorized, especially, but certainly indiscreet use of the take, as they say, of such collection, you may actually lose the means by which you've acquired it.
Yes, sources and methods are far more sensitive than the actual piece of intelligence they produce. Some of these sources and methods cost billions to develop. Lives can be lost when these sources and methods are compromised. And, enemies in the United States, all they have to know is that we're able to collect such a thing, and then they'll use some other method to communicate or to push forward their agendas. And then we have to spend $1 billion again to develop a new system. It's very costly. I mean, that's the major reason why I think Edward Snowden is such a traitor, because he cost the taxpayer billions of dollars and put lives at risk. And that may have happened with these decisions by President Obama concerning NSA.
We don't know for sure that kind of damage has happened, but the kind of care that should be exercised and that, you know, is obligatory for people who have access to this information has, of course, made violations of those arrangements felony offenses. And it remains to be seen whether anyone will be held accountable for that kind of punishment. Let me ask you, Fred, about this Wall Street Journal piece. I gather the Office of Director of National Intelligence has refuted it, but there is nonetheless being pushed out, and some are calling it an active disinformation campaign being orchestrated out of the so-called deep state, certainly the intelligence agencies that you have implicated in this. When you hear the intelligence agencies suggesting that they believe they cannot trust the President of the United States to have access to such information, what, again, as a career professional in the field, what does that say to you about loyalties and doing their job?
Well, first of all, I want to say I question whether this story is accurate. I don't think that CIA Director Pompeo or the Director of National Intelligence would tolerate this, but I find it deeply troubling that career intelligence officers who are in place right now are making this claim. And this shows the urgency that Trump has to get his people into these agencies, remove all the acting deputies named by the Obama administration, pull the clearances of former Obama officials who are not only using this information to hurt Trump, but they're making money with their clearances with Beltway bandits. It's urgent that the swamp be drained in these agencies, and I think it can be drained. I know a lot of people are wringing their hands saying that this is impossible. I know it's possible. The offices that are leaking, they can be isolated. We can find other offices. There's a lot of loyal Americans who want to work for the U.S. government and the CIA. If the people there won't do their jobs, they can be fired. The CIA director can fire anyone he wants just because he wants to. They don't have emergency protection keeping their job. That may be necessary to drain the swamp here.
Well, it's a credibly important point, Fred Flights, and said with the voice of experience from inside the belly of the beast over many years. I appreciate your insights and, of course, the work you're doing these days as the Senior Vice President for Policy and Programs at the Center for Security Policy. I know you'll keep it up and come back to us again very soon. Next up, Bruce Bechtel joins us, one of the country's preeminent experts on the Hermit Kingdom, North Korea, what it's up to, who it's killing, and who it may threaten to kill next. Could it be you? That and more straight ahead.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.